We sing number 3. My hope on nothing less is built than Jesus and the blood he spilt. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on his blessed name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Number 3. Rise. Please, and sing the first and the last verses of number 4. Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. The first and last verses of number 4.
Christ is the Savior for me. Christ is the Savior for me. sin so great, how shall I tell of his praise? This is the Savior for me. Savior of sinners, Savior of sinners like me.
Something solemn, my dear friends, when the last night comes. The last night seems to me to be a very solemn occasion for the going forth of the gospel of the grace of God. Last night, we look forward to tonight. And Friday night, we look forward to Saturday night. But this is the last gospel meeting of this series of meetings that have been held in this school. And it may well be the last gospel meeting that we'll ever attend. For the Lord Jesus may come, or you may die. Oh, what a solemn thing, my friends, to think that you have to die. You have to leave this world. You have to stand before God. What a solemn thing. And tonight, as I look back, the Friday night we heard that God is light and God is love. Last night we heard of the entrance of sin into this world. And tonight I want to speak on two points. First of all, the ruin of man. And second, God's remedy for sin. Man's disease, the disease called sin. And again, God's remedy for that sin, that disease. We have read, I am sure, all of us, about awful diseases that have confronted man. We've read about cancer. We've read of the millions of dollars that have been spent on that dread disease that man has been fighting for many years. But oh, my friends, tonight there's a worse disease. And sad to say that every man in this world, past and present, have had that disease save one. The disease called sin. A disease that only God can cure. And a disease that only the blood of Christ can take away. And so we will look into God's Word tonight. And I want you to remember that it's God's Word. And dear sinner, if you're here tonight and you've never heard the gospel before, if you're a stranger and you've come into this room, as I went into a room in Montreal in 1930 and knew not the gospel of God's grace, I want to tell you right now that God loves you. Isn't that wonderful? Maybe you don't realize you've got the sin disease, but I want to tell you, in spite of your sin, in spite of no matter how bad you are, God loves you. God has provided a remedy for sin in the precious Christ of God. I'd like you to turn to the 7th chapter of Mark's Gospel, where we find the great physician. As he opens the heart of man and presents what's in the heart of man, there's nobody could do that. There's no man ever lived in this world to do it, but this Blessed One has opened the heart. He's opened the heart of man in the 7th chapter of Mark, starting to read from the 21st verse. And oh, friends, it's your heart and it's my heart, not the neighbor's heart, not the man down the street or the man in the penitentiary, but your heart and my heart that Christ has opened here in the 7th chapter of the Gospel by Mark. It's your heart. It's my heart. God has opened our hearts, my friends. And notice what's in the heart. Your heart. Your heart, young man. Your heart, young lady. Child of Christian parents. Brought up in a respectable home. This is your heart. That Christ has opened it. Christ has exposed it. God here has opened your heart tonight in this precious book, in the 7th chapter of Mark. Notice what Jesus says. For from within, out, this is your heart, out of the heart of man, not some men, all men, all men, not one man excepted, but the Lord Jesus himself, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Now turn to the 3rd of Romans. And here again we find God opens the heart of man and opens the whole body, as it were, of man. The 3rd chapter of Romans. Starting to read at verse 10. Notice, my friends, there's some who say, well, I'm not like others. I'm different. Notice what God says in this verse, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Not one. Just imagine. Not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Notice that. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Notice verse 13, the throat, the tongue, the lips. Verse 14, the mouth. Verse 15, the feet. Verse 16, their ways. And verse 18, their eyes. The whole body, from the very top of the head to the very sole of the feet, God says, full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. God exposes man from head to foot and says he's lost. He's a sinner. He's a sinner throughout. And in the 23rd, the end of the 22nd verse, and the 23rd verse, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, my friends, tonight, this is not a very nice picture. This is a gospel meeting, and the word gospel means good news. Good news. But this is mighty bad news, isn't it? This is very bad news to hear you're a sinner. To find from the very top of your head to the very sole of your foot, you're a sinner. A sinner by nature and by practice, and you were born that way. And I was born that way. We were born as fallen creatures, as we heard last night. We were born lost. We were born with our backs turned towards God and our faces turned towards hell. It doesn't take very long, my friends, for us to exhibit as a child even. As a baby, that we were lost, fallen creatures, hopeless and helplessly lost, except for the grace of God. What a solemn picture this is. That man is lost, and God, in the books of Moses, tells us that man is evil. In the book of Genesis, in the writings of Moses, God says that man is evil. The imagination of his heart is evil continually. And in the Psalms, God looked down from heaven to see, and he found man was lost, that man was in sin. And in the prophets, God says that the heart is deceitful above all things and incurably wicked. Incurably wicked. And in the Gospels, we just read the testimony. And in the epistles, we find too that man, in the darkness and blackness of his heart, the hardness of his heart. And the book of Revelation, we find when the judgments of God are in the world, that man blasphemes the name of God. So the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation testifies that man's a sinner. A sinner. Oh, my friends, tonight, man finds the world defiled by sin. Millions and billions of dollars are spent every year in this country. And in the country to the south, in fighting crime, it's on the increase. The penitentiaries are filled with men and women. And except for the grace of God, you and I'd be among the number. Man's a sinner. He's steeled his back against God. And he's listened to the devil's lie, as we heard last night. Oh, my friends, tonight, are you here? And you're trusting in something outside of Christ to save your precious soul, to finally get you to heaven? You're dependent upon penance or prayers. You're dependent upon money or something else to drag you into the kingdom of God. You'll perish, my friend, without Christ. Christ alone is the Savior of sinners, as we'll have later in connection with the remedy for sin. But when you go to a doctor's office, he doesn't tell you right away what to take. He doesn't prescribe the medicine as soon as you enter the door. He examines you and he tells you the disease. And then he gives a remedy. And I believe that God would do that, my friends, tonight. That God would tell you of the sin disease. God says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. You have to meet God, my friends. Well, does the prophet say, prepare to meet thy God. Oh, my friends, tonight, only a heartbeat separates you and me from the presence of God. Only a heartbeat. And we're gone into eternity to face the one who made us, to face the one against whom we've sinned if we're out of Christ, to spend eternity outside of God's presence forever. Thus says the word of God. The modernist minister said it's not true, but God says it is. And I advise you, my dear friend, to believe God tonight. The Bible is the word of God from cover to cover, from the first verse of Genesis chapter 1 to the end of Revelation chapter 2 is the word of God. It's true from the beginning. God has purified it 7 times, and God has not changed his word to fit in with the 20th century of education. God has not changed his word to meet man's education and man's vast knowledge. God's word is true. God has not changed it, I repeat, to meet the 20th century. The word of God is true. And the Lord Jesus said, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Where I am, there ye cannot come. What a solemn thing. Tonight, as we sit in these seats, as we stand on this platform, either we stand here and you sit there as a saved sinner or a lost sinner. On the way to heaven or on the way to hell. And there's no middle ground and there's no third place. And there is no second chance according to the word of God. If you die without Christ, my friends, you'll be buried without Christ. You'll be raised without Christ. You'll stand in the presence of God without Christ. And you'll be judged without Christ. And you'll go to hell without Christ. What a solemn thing. Oh, my friends, I ask you, as we've often asked before, if tonight, instead of sitting here in a measure of health and strength, your poor body was lying cold and still in your casket, what a solemn thought. And the flowers were decked around the undertaking parlor room, and your loved ones were weeping around the chairs in the room, and the funeral notice was in the paper. You were marked for your funeral tomorrow at 2:00. I ask you in God's name, where would your soul be? Where would your soul be? Young man, where would you be if you had died this afternoon? Dear lady, where would you be If you had died this afternoon, where would you be? Can you say, as many in this room can say, I'd be with Christ? My eyes would have seen the King in his beauty. I would have opened my eyes in the presence of the one that loved me. My friends, are you saved tonight? Are you under the shelter of the blood of Christ? Are your sins forgiven? Are you still under the power of that one we heard of last night, who's a real person, who is the enemy of our souls and would drag you to hell with him? For Satan believes the Bible. Satan knows he's going there. He knows his days are numbered. The Word of God tells us, ye believe in God, ye do well. The demons believe and they tremble. Think of it. Think of those demons of the devil. Think of those demons.